One of the most popular ways that sermons are preached is through music that we hear. The Bible itself is full of music, and at Christmas time, we think of the hymns that are associated with Christmas. The hymns that are recorded in Scripture, there are at least three. And we're going to think about those. We hear hymns no matter where we go at Christmas, whether we're shopping in a department store or driving in the car, listening to the radio or watching TV. In church, we celebrate Christmas with Christmas hymns and special music called cantatas. Music just seems to have a mystic power and grace associated to it that lifts the heart, that reminds us of something greater and bigger, more mystic than even words can express. We want to think about three Christmas hymns today, and we're going to think about each one separately, and then we're going to sing a hymn after we think about each Christmas hymn. We're going to think about three people who wrote these hymns or spoke them first, mainly as prayers. There was a mother, a preacher, and an ordinary man, an old man, each of whom wrote a hymn. I like to sing. I often feel sorry for those people who tell me that they cannot carry a tune in a bucket. I wonder if they really can hear the tune in their minds, and they sing the tune in their minds. It's just when they begin to sing it, it always comes out as something quite different than the way it was written. Or what? But we're thinking firstly about Mary's hymn of Christmas. That's recorded in Luke chapter 2. For those of you who know, it's called the Magnificat. And it reads this way, rather, in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 46. The occasion, I might say, is the time when Mary's cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant. Mary was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. Elizabeth, her cousin, was pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And when Mary entered the door, the babe in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leaped. Whereupon Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women." And then Mary spoke these words, "Call the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. The interesting thing about each one of the hymns that we are considering this morning, the hymn of Mary, the hymn of Zacharias, and the hymn of Simeon, is that they all have one characteristic in common. They all exalt God's salvation associated with Christmas, and they tell us one important characteristic of that salvation. Now, the key note, the key verse, the key thought in Mary's hymn of Christmas is in verse 47, where she says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Mary tells us the author of salvation, God, my Savior. Mary is reflecting upon the Old Testament. In fact, she quotes the Old Testament 9 times in these few verses. That is another characteristic that all of the hymns have in common. Is that why God chose them? Is that why God selected them to reveal Himself to? Because they were so steeped in Scripture, they were so steeped in the Word of God that they understood and they were ready to receive a revelation of God. Regardless, Mary looks back upon the Old Testament and she thinks about what is going on now in her life. John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth leaped, and Elizabeth pours forth praise of Mary, and Mary magnificently exalts the God of salvation because that's who He is, the God of salvation revealed at this time. It is interesting that throughout the entire passage of Mary, there is a tense of a verb that is used called the prophetic perfect tense. It means that Mary is speaking now in the present as if God had already accomplished His final salvation. Mary did not understand everything. It was a mystery to her, but she knew that God was her Savior and that this birth, this child she was carrying, would be the Savior. It was upon the cross, when our Lord, hanging upon the tree, looked down upon His mother and He said, "Woman, behold your son." He was not talking about Himself. He was talking about John the disciple. He said, "Woman, behold your son," John the disciple. And He looked at John and He said, "Behold your mother." Jesus from the cross was announcing to Mary, His mother, "Mary, do not look at me anymore as your mere son, for I am your Savior." God in the flesh, paying for your sin. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced, already rejoiced, in God, my Savior." Let us also rejoice in God, our Savior, as we turn to Him. Number 26, their hymn of Christmas that we want to focus on, and that is Zacharias' prophecy, some of you may know that this is called the Benedictus, and it's found in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 67. Let's read that first. Let me tell you the occasion for this particular hymn of Christmas as Zacharias spoke it. Zacharias was actually a priest when he went in to minister to the Lord. An angel appeared to him and told him he was going to have a child by his wife, Elizabeth. And Zacharias and Elizabeth were evidently elderly at this time, and so Zacharias was somewhat surprised and didn't believe the angel. Consequently, Zacharias was struck dumb, and he would not be able to speak until the child was born. And so when Elizabeth finally gave birth to John, that is John the Baptist, they motioned to Zacharias what his name should be called. Everyone thought Zacharias Jr., but he wrote down, "His name shall be called John." Whereupon his tongue was released and he spoke the Benedictus in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." He's talking about John the Baptist. "To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." You will remember that I said that the one characteristic or point that each hymn has is something that has to do with salvation. We said that Mary quoted the Old Testament 9 times. Well, Zacharias quoted it 8 times. And he also reveals an important truth about salvation, about this Christmas gift. Mary, you will remember, told us who the author of salvation would be, namely God himself, the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. Well, Zacharias reveals a new insight, and that is indicated in verse 77. "To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." Zacharias tells us that our salvation will be not a political, not a social, not an economic, not a military, but Zacharias tells us that our salvation will be a spiritual salvation. And it is a spiritual salvation made possible through the remission of our sins. Zacharias' son one time prophesied himself when he saw the Lord Jesus walking by the Jordan River. He said to his disciples about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Isn't that what makes the Christmas gift so significant, so momentous for us? We are free to get up in the morning and we open all of our presents, and there is a sense of peace and joy that floods our being. We're not carrying around a weight of guilt and shame. And why is that? Because to you and me has been given this supreme gift, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins. That is what the gift means. When Jesus was born, forgiveness. When Jesus healed the blind and raised the dead, forgiveness. When Jesus was being raised on the cross, "Father, forgive." When Jesus spoke His sixth word from the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." The word there, tetelestai, was found on some ancient Egyptian papyrus manuscripts on laundry list from ancient Egypt. Upon the laundry list was written in Greek in broad letters, tetelestai. It's complete. Paid in full. It is finished. Our Lord from the cross, tetelestai. Paid in full. All of your sin and my sin, paid in full upon the cross. That is Zacharias' prophecy. Mary tells us that salvation is of God. And Zacharias tells us that salvation is for each one of us here personally. That is spiritually, inwardly. And that salvation is possible through the forgiveness of your sin. It is finished. At this time, we're going to respond to the supreme gift of love. What do we think of the fact we are forgiven? That is indicated by our own willingness to give back to Him what He has given to us.
Thank you.
The third hymn, Christmas hymn, that we want to consider is the one that is found in Luke chapter 2. It is called Simeon's hymn, and it's called the Nunc Dimittis, which means now, Lord, you are letting. And the occasion was the fact that there was an old man. We assume he was old because when he spoke these words and he saw the Lord Jesus, he was ready to die. An old man named Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. And when the Messiah finally came, and he was privileged to see the Messiah and actually take the Lord Jesus in his arms, he spoke these words. Luke 2, 28. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You remember we said that there was one characteristic of each hymn that says something about our salvation. Mary tells us the author of salvation. Zacharias tells us that our salvation is a spiritual one, an inward one, and that it is made possible by the forgiveness of your sin. Zacharias, I believe, reveals to us in this key verse, verse 30, another characteristic of salvation. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That is, salvation is for one personally. Salvation is for you. Salvation for me. Someone has once said that God's love was so deep, so personal, and so particular that had you and you alone been the only person on planet Earth, then He would have sent His Son for you. Jesus Christ was born not merely generally for a mass, but He was born for you and me personally. I remember the first night that I opened my heart to Christ, and I saw, as it were, in my mind's eye, not having a vision, but in my spirit, my mind's eye, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ stooped, bearing a cross with a crown of thorns upon his head and the blood and the sweat dripping down his face and off his chin. And two words stood out to me. For me. For me. For you personally was Jesus Christ born and lived a perfect life and died a substitute for your sin. You see, Christmas brings a crisis into each of our lives. I don't mean the crisis of the busyness that we feel and the obligation to go to this gathering or the obligation to buy presents or the crisis of wondering whether I'm going to get what I would like to get. But I mean the crisis that is revealed in verse 34 that we did not read following Simeon's hymn. And it says this: Behold, this child is destined. Listen to this. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many. Friends, that is the crisis that Christmas brings. For Christmas brings to us either a rising or a falling. Either we accept the meaning of the Christmas gift, or we reject the meaning of Christmas gift. You see, in a sense, the man who said these words was partly right. He said, it is not God who judges a man, but it is a man who judges himself. And each man judges himself when he answers the question, what shall I do with God's Christmas gift? That is your crisis today, and it is mine. If you have found Him, and if you have accepted Him, then you can say with Simeon, Now, Lord, lettest Thou Thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen Thy salvation, the glory of Thy people Israel, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of Your own house. You can say, let me depart. But could there be some of us here today who are still facing the crisis? The rise and the fall of many. What is it for you today? The question, what will you do with God's Christmas gift? Three hymns of Christmas, three aspects of salvation. God, the God of the Old Testament, revealing Himself, promising the Messiah until Jesus Christ is born. Zacharias, who tells us that our salvation is to be inward, is to be by faith, and is received by the forgiveness of our sins. And then there is Simeon, who tells us that salvation is for you and for me personally. Well, the only thing left to say is, have you received God's Christmas gift into your life through asking Him to forgive you and to come in and to make you a new person, a Christian? Let's pray.